They started up the hill, sidewinding on the long worm. Tika found some kind of path, probably an old bike or hiking trail. The worm tilted.
Y'all better side ride. It's gonna get nasty here.
Can you keep the worm upright?
Do ticks tip a hound dog? Grab knitting.
The bears slipped down the side of the worm facing downslope, and Tika shifted her riding stance, clinging onto the saddle and fleshy worm hide like a spider on a wall. Somehow, she managed to work the reins and goad. Valentine spotted a cluster of rocks trapping fallen branches and logs.
Drop off now! They'll keep shooting at the worm!
The bears scrambled for cover. Preble pulled out his field radio.
Whenever you're ready, Lieutenant Gamecock.
Sir, if I'm not mistaken, you're the brigade commander now. I don't think it's your place to be at the forefront of a hill assault. Let me in the bears!
There's a good view from that bluff. The Moondaggers are on their way, and I need to assess the situation.
Red up! Red up!
Each of Gamecock's bears seemed to have their own method of bringing the hurt, and with it, the willed transformation into fighting madness that made the bears the killing machines they were. One punched a rock, another stamped his feet, others cut themselves in the forearm or ear or back of the neck. A bear, perhaps more infection-minded than most, made a tiny cut across his nose and dabbed iodine from a bottle on it.
Time to fuck them up!
Preble looked around, gaping. Valentine knew what his comtech was thinking. If this is what they do to themselves, what the hell's in store for the enemy? If Valentine wanted pain, all he had to do was think of his mother on the kitchen floor, the smell of stewing tomatoes, what was left of his sister lying broken against the fireplace. A cold clarity came over him. The next minutes would be either him or them. Doubts vanished. Everything was reduced to binary at its most simple level. A bit flip. A one or a zero. Life or oblivion. 3, 2, 1.
Smoke 'em up!
A bear from each four-man group pulled big cylindrical grenades from their belts. The senior nodded, and they all threw toward the source of incoming fire. Valentine smelled burning cellulose. The smoke grenades belched out their contents. There was a stiff breeze on the heights, and the smoke wouldn't last long. Gamecock put two fingers into his mouth.
Action up! Action up!
The bears exploded out of the cover like shrapnel from a shell burst, save that each piece homed in on the target line with lethal intent. Valentine followed them through the smoke. Gamecock kept toward the left, where more of the hill, and therefore more unknown opponents potentially lay, so Valentine went around to the right, trying to keep up with the barking mad bear with the clipped ears. White eyes, with a thick bushy beard, appeared from the growth to the right, a Moondagger opening up a tangle of branches with his rifle butt. Valentine swung his machine pistol around. The man fell sideways into the supporting growth, held up by a hammock of small branches and vines. Valentine turned, continuing after the bears up the hill. The four-man groups divided into twos, covering each other as they went up the hill in open order, and they vanished into the smoke.
Target in sight! Grenades!
He crossed into the smoke. A wide, bright green mortar tube sat, a bloody, bearded man fallen against the arms of the bipod, looking like a dead roach in the arms of a praying mantis. Just beyond, a severed head lay next to what had been its body. The bears went to work doing what they did best, close quarters fighting. Only it was closer to murder. The bear with the cuts on his nose was perhaps the most impressive of all. He grapevined through the position with only his .45 gripped carefully like a teacup, his body following the foresight like it was a scouting dog. Valentine saw him drop 3 Moondaggers, their assault rifles never leaving their hips. Valentine saw Moondaggers fall, blown left and right by shotgun blasts or gunfire. The men on the other side of the slope saw the slaughter and ran from their positions and into the thickest timber they could find.
Search the hill! Pop it up, boys!
Valentine posted Preble by the mortars and followed a path north. He found himself atop a limestone cliff with a good view of the river valley and the treetops they'd advanced under. He fired first the red flare and then the blue, but he could see that work was already underway on the bridge below. Rand had put the engineers to work as soon as he heard firing from the bluff top, figuring the mortar crews would have better things to do with bears roaring up through the woods. Valentine hurried back up to Preble and re-established contact with headquarters. They connected him with Moitana, who reported the destruction of 2 armored cars. He delayed the center column, forcing them to come off the road and deploy, before retiring and leaving a screen of scouts who were giving enemy position reports as they fell back. The center column wouldn't reach the bridge for hours yet. The long day would be over soon.